Courageous Conversations, the Leadership Edition. We are here with Leanne Pilkington.
Hello.
To learn all of the lessons that she's learned from her last 30 years as a franchisor.
Shouldn't take long.
What's the biggest lesson you've learned?
Oh, wow. I don't know that there is just one. Certainly, certainly the first lesson I learnt was you'll never keep everybody happy.
How do you work with that? You'll never keep everybody happy.
Sure.
How do you then do your job?
So I know that every decision that I make, I genuinely make in the best interest of the brand as a whole.
Mm.
And so there will be people that don't like it, whether it's from a geographic area or, you know, whatever it is, there'll always be somebody that isn't happy. But I think people know me well enough to know that the decisions I make are always in the best interest of the brand. And I also had to get really good at looking at other people's perspective. I'll never forget one of my very early meetings with one of our very high-profile people in the eastern suburbs, and no, it wasn't Delene. Said to me, I'm not interested in anything that happens outside of the eastern suburbs. And I said, okay, I get that. But unfortunately, I can't be making all of my decisions just around what works here for you. So
you know, yeah, we've got an entire state to
consider. Yeah, we've got to look after everybody. And I just think, particularly at the beginning, they would try and push me and put, it's like kids. They'd like to see where the boundaries are. And I think I've been pretty consistent with my boundaries.
It's interesting what you say about perspective. I'm going to steal a quote from my dear friend Andy Reid.
Oh,
and
yes.
he said to me recently, perspective is power.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I think it's a really good skill to have. If you can put yourself in the shoes of your team member, your vendor, your tenant, your investor, because the reality is, particularly when you're buying and selling property, it's the most stressed thing. Like you're going to be so stressed.
Mm.
You don't behave, you don't bring your best self to the transaction.
No.
Poor agents, whether they're sales agents or property managers, are dealing with people all the time that are not bringing their best self to the transaction or the conversation. And you've got to be able to have enough perspective to go, this is not about me. They're stressed because of, you know, X, Y, and Z.
That's not taking it personally, which is not easy to do.
Yep.
But you can improve
on
that.
You can improve on that.
I'm the example.
You are.
So you've got a strong view on feedback, and you know, and not always taking it. I'm not talking about from a leadership perspective, but not taking external feedback on board. You know, in the sense of if you don't value the person, don't value the opinion.
Yep.
How do you decide
who you value? Depends on the feedback they want to give me, really.
Yeah.
No. And people have criticised me for that stance because they've said, you know, you really need to be willing to take on feedback, whether you like the feedback or not. And that's not what I'm saying. Mm. What I found, particularly when I became president of the Real Estate Institute of New South Wales, people were very happy to try and tear me down.
Mm.
And so that's the kind of people, if you're not in my corner, if I wouldn't come to you for advice, I'm not coming to you for criticism or that kind of feedback.
Mm.
And so you've got to be, it's not easy to let it go because people, particularly on social media, people will misconstrue what you say.
Mm.
And you can go down, I lost a long weekend basically going backwards and forwards with a guy. And it was only at the end of that weekend that I realised there's nothing I can do to change his mind. I need to not give him any more oxygen and walk away.
So going back to when you first became REA NSW president.
Yep.
And you'd been on the board for a little while before that.
I had, yeah, a long time.
And what you mentioned about, you know, people, you know, trying to tear you down. It's not actually that long ago, really. It's what, 6 years ago that you first joined, that you first became president?
President, yep.
You know, so you already had a very strong profile, a very strong reputation. You were very well respected and held up as a thought leader at that point in time.
Yep.
At the time of becoming president. How do you personally cope with people trying to cut you down? Because, you know, it happens, you know.
If you don't value the person, you don't value the feedback. Because there are idiots out there.
You know, everyone, they put themselves on social media, just got this great result. Oh, they got that because, you know, they won some money or their parents left some money and bought them that business or they, you know, they have a team that provides them that lead or they just did it for a cheap fee or, you know, there's always chatter. That.
But even more so, there's a bit of negativity online about real estate agents. There's always negativity, I suppose. But I get really offended by the, you know, oh, they're all mongrels, they're all this, they're all that. It's actually completely inaccurate.
Yeah.
But by engaging with them online, what am I achieving?
It's true.
I'm just giving them oxygen. I'm never going to be able to change their mind over, you know, keyboard warrior. I think I can change people's mind face to face, but people are very brave when they're anonymous and they're behind a keyboard. And I just, I don't actually find that challenging to walk away from. I just don't give them, I don't give them a second thought.
Were you, or did you always have that type of approach, or is that something that you've gotten better with as you've got more experience?
Hard to believe, but most things get better with age, and that is one of them. But I've never really, I've always had people that believe in me and cheer me on, and they're the people that give me the energy. I've not really ever focused on the negativity.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. That is true. I can see that actually.
Yeah.
Your take on no next. You've spoken about how can you... Yeah. How's that mindset? Actually, can you unpack what that means for you?
Sure. So what does rejection actually mean? It's really just the story that you're telling yourself about the word no. And so if you can reframe the word no, because we get a lot of rejection. I mean, we get a lot of rejection in life, but in real estate agents get it more than anybody, or sales, any kind of people in sales environment get it more than anybody. So if you can just think, okay, no, next, and just keep on moving forward, because people are saying no to you for all kinds of reasons. They're saying no because they're not interested in selling their house right now. They haven't even thought about selling their house right now. It's not, oh my God, I hate you, I'd never use you. It's like, no, now's not the time.
I just don't need that service.
Yeah, I just don't need that service.
Yeah.
And again, it's just about focusing it on being a business decision, not a personal reflection.
Was that something that you always had that mindset or had to work at having it?
Yes, absolutely. A girlfriend of mine who is very senior in, she's a CEO in a different industry, and I remember decades and decades ago she said to me, Lee, if someone was trying to sell you a pizza at 9 o'clock in the morning, I mean, personally I love pizza for breakfast, but, you know, just... put that aside. If someone was trying to sell you a pizza at 9 o'clock in the morning, you're going to go no. But if they were trying to sell you pizza at 6 o'clock at night, you're more likely to say yes. So it's not about you. It's about what you're offering doesn't suit their needs right now.
It's and the timing.
That has stayed with me for decades.
That's impactful, actually.
Yeah.
What's been the hardest thing to work on?
The hardest thing to work on? I hate budgets. I really hate budgets. So doing that, I spent a lot of time when we bought the business, I spent a lot of time telling myself how bad I was at all of that stuff, at the budgets, at the financials, at the detail. But in reality, I'm actually not bad at it at all. And so I think I've had to work on the stories that I tell myself. Because that's, you know, as they say, it's the bullshit stories you tell yourself that are holding you back from the next great thing. And it's true.
How do you lean into the things that you have to do but you don't like to do? Like budgets.
Like budgets. Well, I procrastinate to start with, and then I literally have a conversation with myself and say, Leanne, get over yourself. This has to be done. And I just do it.
That takes discipline.
Yeah.
And it takes somebody actually being that self-starter to say, right, enough.
Yep.
Let's doing this now.
And you've got to be, I mean, I have to be disciplined. The whole time I've been at Lang & Simmons, I've had very different leaders over the 30 years, that's for sure. But I haven't really had anyone micromanage me. So if I didn't get stuff done, I didn't get stuff done. So, and I find that progress equals happiness, as our friend Tanja says.
Yeah.
And so that's certainly true for me. I need to be getting better and doing more interesting things and moving forward all the time.
How would you have responded when you first joined Lang & Simmons if you'd been micromanaged?
I can't imagine. I can't imagine. I mean, when I first started at Lang & Simmons, the boss God love him. He's still a good friend of mine now. He would get in at 10 o'clock in the morning. He would read the newspaper until 12 and then he would go to lunch and he would do it every single day.
Oh, great. How do we get him back?
How do we get him back? I know, exactly. And so I realised pretty quickly if I wasn't going to do it, it wasn't going to get done.
Yeah.
And I don't know why I care, but I do. I just deeply care about doing a good job.
That's interesting, actually, because I believe we have the best corporate team in any, not just in the industry, but out of any franchising opportunity. I just feel that there is no other team that cares as deeply as our team.
Yep.
And I think that's something that we have all at an individual level, but as a group, that obviously makes us very strong as a combined cohort. And I don't know how we found each other being so like-minded in that way. And I don't know if it's something that we are, that, you know, we maybe cared a little bit before we got here and then now we care even more. I don't know what it is.
It's getting stronger and stronger. Yeah. But as I have to say to some of you, care but not too much, because ultimately you've got to, you can't get so caught up in everybody's stories that,
It's a hard lesson to learn when you first start in corporate because you want to change the world, right? You want to come in and this person wants this particular type of business. Do everything I tell you to do right now and you can absolutely have that.
Yep.
I'm just one person.
Yeah.
I can't make somebody go and do those things if they're not wanting to do it. And you can't want it more for somebody else than they want it for themselves.
Exactly.
And that, unfortunately, there's only one way to learn those lessons, I feel, which is unfortunately get your heart broken when they don't do what it is you want them to
do. I've had the same conversation with every single member of the corporate team on the way in. It's like, I want to do X, Y, and Z. And so-and-so has said that they want to do a business. I'm like, yeah. Let me know how that works out for you, sunshine.
Yeah, we all do it. And then now I must admit, after having been with Lang & Simmons for a little while now and then a new team member starts and they say, oh, I'm going to get this person to come to this event. And I think, wow, they haven't been for 15 years. I will congratulate you if you get it done.
Absolutely.
My naive days are over.
Yeah, that's right.
What have been some really difficult decisions you've had to make as a leader?
Probably the hardest decision I had to make was when back in 2019, I was really unhappy at Lang & Simmons. I couldn't see what was next for me. And you know,
you're very...
it's like, it's always about what's next, next. It's a little bit too relentless sometimes, but I just couldn't see what the future held because the things I believed that were the way forward for franchising in real estate, the owners at the time didn't necessarily see the same thing. And so I had been offered another business opportunity and I thought about it deeply and I had a lot of conversations and I got to the stage that I just couldn't bring myself to do it. And that was when I realised, okay, I can't leave, but I cannot. I almost didn't recognise myself. I couldn't stay. And so I rang the owner at the time, the chairman, and said, you need to speak to the board and you need to sell us because I can't work with you anymore. That was that decision took me, because I didn't, that was a really hard conversation to have. I still can't believe I had the balls to do it.
Yeah, I can't imagine any of us ringing you saying, we don't like working for you anymore, so can you go and sell the business? I can't imagine having the courage to say that.
I know what I'd say.
I've got a pretty good idea what you'd say too. How long did it take you to make that decision?
Oh, months and months, probably 6 or 8 months.
I find that so interesting because you make the
fast,
quick decisions. I'll come to you with something and you'll say, you know what, give me a couple of days and I'll come back to you. And I'll literally get in the car to leave the meeting and then you'll call me and say, okay, let's do it. And it's less than 20 minutes from.
Yeah. So I am usually a fast decision maker. And when I procrastinate on something, it's usually a mechanism to give myself time to think it through.
Mm-hmm.
So people make the mistake of thinking people that make fast decisions don't think things through. We actually do. We just think fast.
Quick. Yeah.
But this was a cracker. And then then for me to actually make the decision to buy in That was another really difficult decision as well. And I can remember speaking to somebody who was one of the best leaders I've ever worked for, and he thought it was a terrible idea.
Really?
Yeah, he thought it was a terrible idea. And I fell into a depression, which doesn't happen to me ever, for days and days, not knowing what to do, because if he thought it was a bad idea and if he thought I couldn't do it, who am I to think I can? And then I just went, get over yourself. I spoke to actually Hannah Gill. She had just gone out, her and Will had just gone out, the Property Collective. They'd just started the Property Collective. And Hannah and I used to work together. And I was driving down Gilbert Road in Castle Hill. I can still remember where I was. And I was still kind of teetering. And Hannah and I had a conversation. And she's just like, Leanne, it's the best thing I ever did. And I'm like, you know what? If you can do it, I can do it.
You've just said something that I think is so powerful. You spoke to a previous leader of yours that made you feel like, well, if he couldn't see it, who am I to think that I'm capable of that?
Yep.
It just goes to show that the impact, whether positive or negative, that a leader, whether you are still leading that person or not,
yep,
can have on an individual and the power you hold as a leader, yep, over other people's lives and livelihoods.
Yeah, and you absolutely don't realise. You really don't realise the impact that you have on other people.
And it's funny. It's something that I think if people were more aware of that, where would the industry be?
Yeah.
Interesting question. Food for thought.
Yeah, food for thought.
We might talk about that on the next one.
Yeah, we might.
Well, thank you for your time again today.
My pleasure.
Till next time.
Okay.